Welcome to Haunt Weekly.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction and haunted entertainment industry. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we're back once again. I know we keep acting surprised that this weekly podcast comes out every week. It's like we planned it or created it that way or named it that way or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, but I remember whenever we started this, so many people were like, well, we'll see where you are in a year.
Yeah, you'll never make it a year. You're not going for a year.
They were cautiously, you know, supportive.
The old timers didn't think we could make it.
Yeah.
But we young whippersnappers knew better.
Yeah.
And no, we're not young whippersnappers. And
no.
They weren't old timers. And I'm being offensive to absolutely everyone involved in this conversation, myself included.
Yes, but you're not the most offensive thing we'll be talking about today.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no. Oh, Lord of mercy. This is a tough one, folks, because, okay, let's get a few things out of the way.
Right.
One, this will probably be a shorter episode.
Right.
We usually try to make these around 50 minutes, but it's February, we're in the doldrums of the news, and I've got to be honest, it's tough even for me to find a lot to talk about, especially given the caveat we'll talk about in a minute.
Right, because people are doing conferencing, they're starting their new builds,
And that's what I was about to say, is if you want the news and haunting, go on Facebook, find haunter groups, and see all the awesome photos, like Haunters Hangout.
Right.
So many awesome photos of what people are building and working on and creating. Oh my God, I'm like drooling every day on Facebook.
Yes.
Like my keyboard has to be replaced like 3 times a month from the drool that accumulates in it. It's great. Oh,
I'm so glad that's not true.
Yeah, because I don't have a keyboard, I have a laptop. That would be really bad, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That would be really rough, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yes, it would. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's where the news is happening right now. It's happening in those groups.
And it's also happening with people, you know, posting photos and videos from the different conferences. And so if you aren't following the conferences, you might want to start.
And by the way,
you might want to start it like in December.
Yeah. Well, and speaking of which, Windy City Haunters took place this weekend.
Right.
We have heard from our man on the inside, Japes. You might have heard of him if you listen to the show.
Maybe.
That it was absolutely banging excellent and a great. It was every bit as great as we'd hyped it up to be, apparently.
Yes, and they are also, I have seen a few of their videos from the conference.
Yes.
Because in addition to only being $20, they also posted free videos for everyone. I mean, come on.
I would like to say, even though I was unable to attend due to like location and time, and time and location, this is already one of my favorite haunt conferences. These guys are amazing, and they're doing great service to the industry.
Yeah.
I can't say enough good things about them.
Yeah, so if you haven't followed their page or liked it, you know.
Definitely get on there and do it. They are an awesome group of people, and they're serving our industry very, very well. And honestly, why don't more haunts do this?
I don't know, because we were trying to figure this out. Because it seems like you already have the space.
No.
And you've got a local community. And especially like in New Orleans, because we have like several haunts in the area. And as far as I know, there's not any like really strong animosity between the people. In fact, several of them work together on a regular basis.
Like all haunt communities, we are genuinely incestuous here.
Right.
To some degree or another.
Because we're a small community.
There are conflicts. There are quarrels.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. The people who don't like us.
Yeah.
I get that, you know. But the point remains, you know, yes, we're still a very incestuous and very family-like community.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't see why you couldn't have a conference at the House of Shock, for example.
Yeah.
Because that's one, like, we never did the podcast on, you know, running a conference. We never really got into that. But one of the number one expenses is finding the location.
Yes.
And reserving it and booking it. If you've got that already, you are like 60 to 70% there.
Yeah, and I can think of several rooms there that would work for it. Also at 13th Gate and Mortuary. I mean, Mortuary tears down every year.
Yeah.
Or at least they did. I don't know what their new schedule is.
I know they tear down significant portions still, but maybe not the entirety of the haunt. I think they leave the basement intact, but I think much of the rest of the haunt is torn down.
Yeah.
Year after year. I'd have to get with some of my friends that are still, some of our friends, I'm sorry, that are still there. Yeah. I don't know why it's in the conference.
Well, and the thing
is, you don't know these people. Like, we don't all go to karaoke together or something.
Yeah, I know.
I have no idea who these people are. You don't know these people.
I've never met
met any of them on a weekly basis. No, yes. Never.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. But they, but since they aren't doing the Christmas thing anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what portion they're tearing down now.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to
get. I get that.
Because that's a new thing.
Yes.
For them not to do that. So.
But yeah, I mean, if you have a haunt, you have space to host a conference.
Yeah.
And especially if you have a lot of other attractions in your area, like regionally.
Yeah.
Why not consider doing a conference? Why not consider inviting your brethren to come? Hold workshops, exchange ideas, talk shop a little bit.
You could also get involved with your local theater groups and schools that have theater departments and do instructions on makeup and set design.
And bring in the home haunters, bring in everyone.
Yeah. Why not?
There's no reason not to. I mean,
you got the most expensive thing already.
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
As someone who's planned a conference, trust me, having a location is key.
Yes, that's why the ones that I planned were always on colleges that we talked to and were friendly with.
And the ones I planned with, and this is actually true, we were given access to a country club room.
I shot video for that.
Yes, you did. You were there shooting video. And basically, the president of the company was a board member of a country club.
Right.
So we had access to the giant, big ballroom at the country club that we hosted at. And that was free. And that was great and amazing. And it made sure we turned a profit on our conference. Good times. Not really.
Yeah.
And actually terrible times. Very tragically terrible times. Okay, but anyways, speaking of conferences, we should probably do conference reminders.
Yes, now it might be the right length.
Now it might be the right length. We now might have wandered on long enough it could be the right length of an episode. We'll see later.
All right.
All right, would you like to begin or would you like me?
Sure, I could start off.
All right, give it, kick us off.
March 23rd through the 26th, so we got a little bit of break here. Transworld Halloween and Attraction Show at St. Louis, Missouri's America Center. Early bird discounts are up probably through the next week or two, because it's
getting close.
So if you're looking for that and you haven't gotten your tickets yet, definitely look into doing that. New this year is the Escape Room City, a zone all about escape rooms, because that is a theme of all of the conferences this year.
Yes, indeed.
And you can find out more at the Ha Show, HAASHOW.com.
I do think it's very telling how important escape rooms have become to the industry. That Transworld, probably the biggest conference we have in our industry, has dedicated a quarter of their floor to it.
Right.
It's very telling right there.
Yeah.
But speaking of room escapes and escape rooms, the Room Escape Conference and Tour is May 1st through 5th. And Niagara Falls, New York, at the Niagara Falls Conference and Event Center, Tour of Five Wits, Escape Games Canada, and Locked Up Escape Games. The conference is the 1st through the 3rd. The tours are the 4th and the 5th. And you can learn more at roomescapeshow.com. Now, if you didn't hear me mention the C word, Canada, you should be aware that if you were going to do this and all the events and all the tours and all that, you need to get your passport in order now in the United States. I know a lot of us don't have passports. We've had passports for a while. We're very fortunate souls. But if you have not traveled internationally before, get your passport. In fact, now is the time to put in the order for it.
Also, if you're, you know, Canadian, get whatever you need from there, too.
It's called a passport there, too.
Sweet. I know.
Except they say passport, but they do that with a tilty head thing. South Park told us all about this.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I'm sure that Trudeau would say something about that.
I need to do it dreamily.
Yes. All right. Then, May 12th through the 14th, we have West Coast Haunters Convention at the Doubletree in Portland, Oregon. Tour of Midnight Room Escape, Labyrinth Room Escape, and Escapism Room Escape, because why not? And you can find out more about them at hauntersconvention.com.
Yeah, and the West Coast Haunters Convention is one of those big dog conventions. Once again, all about room escapes.
Yeah.
So guess what the curtain bug of the year is, everybody?
Yeah.
All right. But then after that, June 8th through the 11th, it's the Midwest Haunters Convention in Columbus, Ohio, the Greater Columbus Center. They'll be touring the Scaratorium, as well as other haunts to be determined. You can learn more at the MidwestHauntersConvention.com. That's MidwestHauntersConvention.com. Sorry, no the, and then I mean, that was a misspeak.
Okay.
You probably shouldn't listen to anything I say, period, but definitely don't listen to the.
Yes. Yes, the was silent, except it wasn't. So July 29th through the 30th, we have Midsummer Scream, and that's going to be at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California, by Creepy LA and Theme Park Adventure. There are a few details right now, but as they become available, they will show up on midsummerscream.org.
Yes, they will. And after that, it's Haunt Fair. That's F-A-I-R-E. August 4th and 5th in the Rancancoma, New York Clarion Hotel. There is a haunted bus tour. As we always remind you, this is a tour of haunted places via bus, not an actual haunted bus.
Right.
But you can learn more at haunt-faire.com, hauntfair.com.
Okay. Next, we have Scare LA, the August 5th through the 6th. It's going to be in Los Angeles. There are going to be more than 200 vendors and many panels on the haunted attraction business. You can find out more about that at scarela.com.
And for the first time, we have thank you to those, by the way, who left us comments and sent us messages on this.
Right.
We've got a couple of people who alerted us that they have announced the location. It is the Pasadena Convention Center in Pasadena. So, yes.
I thought it was somewhere else. I thought that they had said it was going to be at the LA Convention Center.
Oh, Christ.
That's why I wasn't saying it. I was going to check.
All right, well.
We went through it too fast.
All right, as we check this out, you check that out. I will continue
I am.
To the next one. The final one, actually. It's Halloween and Haunt Fest Show, August 25th through 27th, 2017. Dallas, Fort Worth at the Mesquite Convention Center, HalloweenandHaunt.com. And we may have some announcements coming up regarding that for too much longer.
Yes.
As we are actually planning our own conference visits. No hard plans, but we are hoping, knock on wood, to be able to go.
Well, I think we'll be able to go.
Yes, I think we
now
are.
Now, there may be more information.
Yes.
But I think we will be going to
we
that.
Are actively planning on going it and getting the ball rolling, but stuff happens. So we not a formal announcement confirming our arrival there yet. But it may happen soon enough.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, while Crystal finishes dealing with Scare LA and trying to figure out whether or not I got that right or she got that one right.
Yeah.
And like I said, we did hear from multiple people, so who knows who's right on this one now. Confusion abounds.
But well, it usually does on this podcast.
On this podcast,
because we're professionals.
We are the adamant professionals. We're like adamantium. No. No, okay. But, okay, first off, this episode, one rule. Even if this does make the episode short, we are not going to be covering the bevy of haunts that opened up for Valentine's Day weekend, or Valentine's Day itself this year.
Right.
And the reason is there were just too many of them.
Yes.
Irma Gerd, seriously, do a search for this. It is crazy how many haunts opened up. Like we've been around more than a year now.
Right.
And I remember doing the search on Valentine's Day last year, and there were a few. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was like a couple of dozen or so. It was a manageable amount. This year, it was absolutely crazy because my Google News and my news feeds were totally blown up by haunts opening up for Valentine's Day-themed attractions. It was absolutely crazy.
Right. And basically, I'm going to have to go back and research the Scare LA more.
All right.
Because I want to continue talking to you instead of fact-checking ourselves right now.
I understood. But yes, that's why we are not covering Valentine's Day haunts this year. It's just too many. And
right.
We got other things to cover, as it turns out. Other very important things, I believe.
Yeah.
Including the unfortunate star of our show this week. An international story.
Yes.
And a story we almost, a haunt we almost went to one of the sisters to.
Mm-hmm.
The London Dungeon.
Yeah.
Now, the London, the Dungeon, and I should just say the Dungeon, because it's actually a series of attractions all over the UK, and I believe elsewhere too. I believe in other European countries too. We ran into the chain in Edinburgh. We've never actually been to London. We've been elsewhere in the UK.
Right.
But we've never been to London.
Yeah.
And long story short is they are a chain of haunted attractions catering mostly to tourist crowds.
Right.
Year-round deals. But they are facing, the London Dungeon in particular, is facing a angry backlash over some pretty stupid Valentine's Day tweets and Facebook posts.
Yeah, I think that that's fair to say. We also need to mention that this is a family attraction.
Yes.
They do allow families and target them. So
yeah, you will see, a good example is, if you travel by train...
Right.
Anywhere in the UK. Like, we ran across it first, literally the little rack of, the handbills and things, the flyers.
Yeah.
Right outside the train station in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not, like, advertising in bars and nightclubs. And,
no, it would be like, you know, if you stay at any hotel in New Orleans, mm-hmm. you see all of the haunted tour.
Yeah, the little quarter-page flyer thing, the vertical quarter-page flyers.
And swamp tours and this and that. And yeah, it's that kind of
ghost
stuff.
Tours and cemetery tours.
Right.
And Mississippi River cruise rides. And
so if they had one of, it would be among those if we had one here.
Yeah, exactly.
Which targets families.
Yes.
So.
Well, and we're actually pulling this from an article by Mark Chandler of the Evening Standard, for the record.
Right.
But basically, they put out a series of what it's being described as sexist and misogynistic messages on Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
The most egregious example, in my opinion, is, what's the difference between your job and a dead prostitute? Your job still sucks. Ha ha, begin uproarious laughter now. Commence chuckling.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's the idea, at least.
Yes.
And basically, they took such a huge beating on social media that they went back and they posted a lengthy apology with a we're sorry image.
Yeah, it's we're sorry. And then we recognize that we offended some of you. It's like... Yeah. There are very few people, probably, that weren't at least a little bit offended by one of them. Because there were multiple.
You know, and this story to me really points to some of the perils of social media for haunted attractions. And the thing about it is this. I know from working with haunts and being involved in this industry that usually the social media guy is detached from the ownership of a haunt.
Right. Yeah.
It's usually somebody else. The haunt owners want to build things. We want to design ads. The closest we want to get is thinking about themes and designs.
Right.
We don't want to actually manage the day-to-day social media stuff. That's boring.
No, you hire someone or you give it to one of your computer-savvy
cast members and throw them a few bucks or something. Yeah, you don't usually handle it yourself. And the problem is sometimes with... that type of arrangement, they can say or do things that outright embarrass you or worse.
Yeah. Yeah, because I would like to know if this was approved by actual management.
Yeah.
Because that is unclear.
Yeah. It's very unclear who authorized these messages. And it was, like I said, both on Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
And there were several of them, too, is the part of the problem.
Yes.
It wasn't just like it was that one-off, oops, that was in bad taste.
Yeah.
We're sorry, we screwed up. Right. There were actually several. There was a joke about Jack the Ripper wanting to Netflix and kill.
Yeah.
One that I don't even get. I love a girl that's a good eater, female translation, you're fat. I don't even understand how that's a joke.
No, it's not a joke. See, that's the most egregious one to me.
Okay.
Oh,
so what? What, the dead prostitute one wasn't the worst?
Well, no, it is bad. But I think that mansplaining through a woman's splaining comments is a little bit worse.
And the even worse is that all these were centered around the idea that these were Valentine's Day themed.
Right.
What the actual hell, man?
Yeah.
I mean...
not quite there yet. Yeah.
Yeah, show up, you know, to your girlfriend's house with a box of chocolates and these notes and see how far you get. Challenge accepted. Let's
go. Okay. No. Well, now that I know where they're coming from, it's a little bit different for that's you.
Fair enough. But yeah, I don't understand what the idea behind it was. I know they were trying to make some kind of pithy puns and, you know, be catchy and hip and all that, and maybe be a little edgy.
Right.
But they clearly crossed some lines, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's kind
of, and it's also kind of a sign of the times that people are speaking up when people voice opinions or say something, well, in this case, just kind of stupid, that, yeah, it may have been accepted, not acceptable, but not such a backlash about it if they'd done it in, like, the 80s.
Yeah.
But well, and now it's...
Well, it's also interesting where some of the lines are, especially when dealing with a haunted attraction.
Yeah.
Because let's roll this back a little bit. What if they had done a thing where it's like, this Valentine's Day, give the person you love your heart. And it'd been like an image of someone ripping the heart out of their chest.
Yeah.
That would have been totally cool.
That would have been fine.
Totally, because it's not misogynist. It's violent as all hell.
Yes.
But we expect that from a haunted attraction.
Give her your heart.
Exactly. And there you go. And it's like a realistic heart on a plate or something.
Yes.
That would have been totally cool. And I'm pretty sure like 80 bajillion the other haunts did something similar.
Yeah.
For their Valentine's Day promotions. And that's not sexist. That's not, you know, picking on a group. That's not body shaming. That's not, you know, it's... I don't know. So
for the Jack the Ripper one, since it is the London Dungeon.
Yeah.
Do you think they were trying to play off of the scariness of the history in London? I mean, what was the thought there?
The thought was they're making a tragically bad joke about prostitutes sucking.
Well, that's not the prostitute one. That's a different one.
Oh, the Netflix and Kill.
Yeah,
that's just trying to be hip and using things the cool kids like say.
The Netflix and Chill. But
There's two Jack the Ripper-ish ones, and
gotcha.
The dead prostitute one's also a reference to Jack the Ripper. Sorry,
it is.
But yeah,
it could be.
No, it definitely is because. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of Jack the Ripper stuff there.
Right.
But yeah, he wants the Netflix and Kill. That's just... That one to me is not as offensive as it is lame.
Yes.
That is like...
It's offensively lame.
That is the old 50-year-old guy going, look, I'm still hip, I'm still with it.
This is what they're saying
this
now, right?
This is what the cool kids are doing.
Yeah.
No, don't try to be one of the cool kids. Just be honest, be real, be you know? Right.
Yeah.
And what we are is a bunch of weirdos who obsess over violence and gore and scaring people.
Right.
We don't...
I would go to a haunted attraction for Valentine's
Hell
Day.
Hell yeah, I would too. Sadly, none in our area opened.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just... God, it's a lesson for social media. They tried to be too edgy. They tried to be too cool. And
right.
Doing the air quotes that no one can hear. But
see
what well, they can't.
If they could hear air quotes, then they could hear them because it's a podcast.
But the point remains that, you know, Jesus. They tried to be pithy, they tried to be cool, they tried to be edgy, and they ended up just going right overboard with it and damn near tanking their brand and their goodwill.
Yeah.
And that's one of the problems is when you play on that edge with social media, you run the risk of going right over it. And that edge is literally a cliff.
Yeah, I still think that it's a good idea to run something that's edgy or catchy by someone at different ages.
Yeah.
You know, like if we start really promoting in a different way our little home haunt, we will probably get our stepson to say, hey, what is your reaction to this?
Does this excite you? Does this offend you? What does this do?
Right.
You know, are we, how offbeat, how off are we here?
Yeah.
Or on
what term should we use here to connect with your generation? Because we're not part of it.
Yeah, and you know, once again, maybe we should do a whole podcast about diversity in haunting at some point. Just general, broad diversity. Because the image I have
Mm-hmm.
And this is a tragic image, I admit, is that these messages were crafted by a bunch of older white dudes.
That sounds exactly like who I was picturing.
A bunch of older white dudes trying to appear cooler and younger and, you know, more hip than they are. And not having the diversified people around them to go, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Slow down.
yeah. I think they were a little deaf to their message. Mm-hmm. So
I would definitely agree. They were definitely a lot deaf, actually, with us.
Yeah.
And they paid for it. And what did you think about the apology? What was your take on it?
It did not seem sincere.
Yeah.
It seemed... It seemed like just a response to the backlash and not like they actually, were apologizing.
And I will say this. I'm reading the actual tweet responses.
Yeah.
To it. And I think Vonnie_Bravo is her Twitter handle. I'm not sure I'm saying her name right.
Yeah.
So I apologize profusely. But she says, Dungeon_London, do you recognize why you've upset people and why this is offensive and why this is, why this is offensive, basically. And they never actually clearly stated why it was offensive.
Yeah.
They just said they're sorry. They've offended some people. Some people. I love that one too. Some people.
Yes. Yeah.
It was a non-apology to me.
Yeah, basically.
If I were offended, I am offended by this, but I'm also not a potential London Dungeon customer right now.
Right.
So.
Well, if you were in the area, would this keep you from going?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll say that. I will be honest. And I'll say that for several reasons. One is in Edinburgh and London and elsewhere, where we know they exist, there are plenty of other attractions.
Oh, yeah.
We are not... When we were in Edinburgh, we wish we had another day there just to visit haunted attractions.
Right.
We ended up not having that ability. We did Edinburgh Castle, the museums.
Right.
And a bunch of other stuff. We had a packed day, man.
Yeah, we did.
It was a full day. But we didn't get to make it in any haunted attractions. But, and that's really tragic. We did others in the UK, though, on that trip. But we did not go to any in Edinburgh. But we talked about how, wow, there's so many. There's, look at all these flyers. It was like raining. Yeah. So it's basically, it's like, yeah, I could visit 400 attractions in a day and we have like 6 to choose from. Yeah, I can put them on the back burner.
Yeah.
I don't have to put this aside in order to have a haunted attraction experience. I have alternatives.
Right.
So yeah, this would probably keep me from going.
Yeah.
This probably would.
I was just curious.
I am curious what one of their attractions is like because they are such a big chain.
Right.
But I'm not, but yeah, this kind of blunts that curiosity.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, I think I could look up reviews online.
Yeah, I don't know. This is tragic to me. It's one of those situations where until they apologize correctly.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge, they haven't. Like I said, so we're reading this one article. We've read other articles too, but we're pulling right now from this one in the Evening Standard. We have not seen what we consider to be a proper apology. Now, this thing is still unfolding, to be fair.
Right.
This is one of the things that literally started developing within the past week as we're recording this.
Yeah.
So it's possible it could come after.
Yeah. Maybe they should try a video apology.
Or at least, not every apology fits in a tweet.
Yeah.
That's very true. Not everything you have to say fits in a tweet, man.
Yeah.
Maybe take this apology to Facebook and then tweet the Facebook link.
Yeah. Well, they did do a Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And it was longer, but still not very adequate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it still was very short. It felt tweet-like to me.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
And that's because, they said that they understood they offended some people, but they didn't say they understood how they offended people.
Which is,
You
are being misogynistic assholes. That's how you offend people.
Yes.
There. I'm helping you.
Yes.
Free advice from Jonathan Bailey. I'll take my $150 hour retainer now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so let's move on from that. We're
yeah.
This episode's now gone from short to long.
It's funny how that happens.
It is on this podcast. Okay, let's do another international story here. Geelong or Geelong? How the hell do you say that town name?
I have no idea.
I'm going to run with Geelong, Australia. Along the southern coast there. They apparently have lost a potential major haunted attraction that was planning on opening. Long story short, there was a group, a New Zealand group, that was set to open up a new haunted attraction there. And the idea was they were going to take over a former Corio Whiskey distillery and build a haunted, an indoor haunted theme park there.
Right. And they've determined that the building is the wrong site for it.
Yeah.
I think that they're probably still shopping out other places in Australia.
I would hope so.
Because they have a fan base that brought them there in the first place. Yeah. So yeah. If they can build it, people will show up.
Yeah, that's one thing that's really interesting about the story to me is they are a New Zealand company.
Right.
They've been in business 10 years in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Which is pretty long for an international haunt. Let's be clear. It's very long for an international haunt.
Yeah.
Pretty long my aching ass. It's very long.
Yeah.
And they've obviously accrued a strong fan base because, as you said, it was fan petitions, fan letters, fan requests that got them to show up at Geelong and on the continent itself to try and set up this secondary attraction.
Right.
But they've just apparently determined this whiskey distillery, this old whiskey distillery, is not a suitable location.
Right. So hopefully they'll be able to find a different one.
Yeah, soon.
Yeah.
Well, and the story interests me because one of the things that I've noticed is that when you have a large building that is no longer being used, and we've seen this a lot in New Orleans, for example, there's like three fates that seem to befall it.
Yeah.
One is it gets renovated into condos or gentrified shops or something like that. It gets a major overhaul and renovation.
Right.
Second is that it gets used for movie sets. And see, I'm thinking like Jack's Brewery here in New Orleans, the first happened to it. It became shops and condos in the French Quarter and all that. And then it becomes movie sets. Well, that's like that power plant on the river that...
Oh, I was thinking of the abandoned church across from Hudat.
Or you could just say Six Flags and here in New Orleans, too, also is a movie set now.
Yeah, they're looking for buyers for that.
Yes, they are, but...
In fact, they just had another one fall through, so if anybody out there is looking for an abandoned
theme park... If you would like to haunt a theme park, please contact the owners of Six Flags New Orleans. I have no idea who they are. No. I have no end with them. But please consider them. Please, please, pretty please consider them.
Yes, we would like to see that something happen with that land.
But the third alternative is it does get turned into a haunted attraction. Right. That's what happens to the mortuary.
Well, there's actually a fourth then.
Okay, what?
It gets torn down.
Oh, well, yeah.
It just falls into complete disrepair and gets torn down.
Well, okay, there are three that kind of preserve the historical character,
yes,
though.
I will agree with
and that. I would say the second and the third are the only ones that actually really preserve the historical character.
Yeah.
Because does Jack's Brewery look anything like a historical building? No, just be honest.
It doesn't. It looks like a postcard, which is appropriate enough because it's one of the things you can find on postcards.
Fair enough. But yeah, those are like the things that can happen to those buildings. And... Yeah. Yeah, no, and what you said is exactly my worry for this whiskey distillery. Looking at the photo here in the article, it looks pretty cool.
It does.
It's a big, awesome looking brick building.
Yeah.
I could totally see it being a great haunted attraction. But yeah, my fear is that now that this has fallen through, and it does not seem to be a big conflict with the community or anything like that. It's just the realization this building and this site will not work for whatever reason. It's incompatible. They didn't say.
Right.
But these old buildings, there could be a bajillion reasons. It's no one's fault. But yeah, the fact that it fell through, it could mean the curtains for this building.
Right. And it is a worth mentioning that this was to be a family-friendly haunted attraction.
Which is what they do in New Zealand, coincidentally.
Right.
They focus on family-friendly, which I think is also great.
Yeah, because that's an underserved market.
It is. I agree with that. As haunts seek to become edgier and more hardcore, someone saying, look, yeah, we're targeting families is kind of a special thing.
It is.
Well, shifting gears back to the United States for a little bit, an article by the Herald Star here, Jackson County, Ohio, a county I did not even know existed.
Yeah.
Has awarded a pretty sweet marketing package to the Darkview Haunted Attraction, within their borders.
Right.
This is pretty kick-ass.
Yes. Our industry won something. Yay!
We finally win one. We get support from a local community, and they're giving us free stuff to help us be successful. We celebrate. That's what this article's about.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, this one's actually, I think it's really cool, because the package actually is a partnership with the local newspaper, several local radio stations, and also companies that help with the advertising and the design and all the work that goes into making these ads.
Right.
It's a pretty goddamn complete package, if I may say so myself.
Yeah, hopefully it'll, you know, save them some of their marketing budget.
Yeah.
And let them put that money somewhere else.
And that's one of the crazy things. We've heard stories where chambers of commerce like this
right.
have not even allowed haunted attractions to have a seat at the table.
Right.
Or have looked at, or allowed them there, but looked at them as the enemy that's, you know, hurting the respectable businesses in the town. I swear to God, some towns are like candidates for the town in Footloose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
I've
lived in some of those.
But it's crazy stuff, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, this multi-million dollar business wants to come in and bring tourists with it who are bringing money to our town? No, we can't have that.
Yeah, we don't want them staying for dinner and
drinking afterward and hanging out
at our shops and buying stuff. Why would we want people to spend money here?
Yeah. Screw that. Screw that haunted attraction. Yeah, we've heard that, though.
I know.
We've heard that exact message so many times that whenever a Chamber of Commerce does something like this, even as part of a contest, even, you know, whatever, I don't care how it was awarded, it's awesome.
Yes, it's nice to be liked.
Oh my God, this is such a flippity flop of the usual stories we have here, and I'm so happy about it. It's crazy. So, you know, Jackson County, Chamber of Commerce, we salute you here. Thank you much for supporting the haunt industry and your local haunted attraction and not being total tool bags.
Yes.
We love you.
Yep.
All right, in other haunted attraction news locally, Glenwood, Minnesota, Fright Night's haunted attraction is under new ownership.
Yeah.
Now, this one's fascinating because it was previously run by Glenwood and Beyond as a nonprofit for the Pope County Fairgrounds, Pope County is the county they're contained in.
Right.
But now it's being taken over by a for-profit entity, Fright Night's LLC.
Right.
Now, to be clear, though, all the money is still staying local. The three people who own Fright Nights LLC are still Glenwood natives.
Yeah.
So it's
they grew up there. So
it's not like this is some out-of-town conglomerate coming in and buying the local haunted attraction to make it the McDonald's or what, I don't know.
No, it'd be like, you know, going back to your hometown and building a haunted house.
Exactly.
After becoming successful elsewhere.
Yeah. And that's what these guys are doing, and I think it's a good thing. It sounds like the haunt was struggling a little bit from what little bit I was able to catch about it.
Yeah.
But still, it's always a little bit sad when a charity haunt goes more corporate and more for-profit. But then again, I don't feel bad about it when it's within the community.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you know, it's about the community.
It is.
We are all local businesses. And we're local businesses because we have to have people come through our doors. It's a physical thing. We can't be like international haunted attraction without opening up dozens of locations.
Right.
You know, your one haunted attraction serves your local community. It is a member of that community. And so, yeah, as long as it remains that, I don't feel too bad.
Yeah.
Still, I do wish the Pope County Fairgrounds well, though I've never actually heard of a nonprofit for a fairground. Have you?
No.
That is not something I ever heard of in all my years. So
no, that sounds maybe we're not understanding what they mean by fairgrounds.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, I grew up in some rural places, and I know what the fairgrounds meant there, like in rural South Carolina.
Right, and I know what it means here.
Yeah, basically, it's a plot of land where carnivals come and events are held from time to time.
Right,
I think it's like a public space, if you will.
Yeah, basically,
a large public space.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, and I understand there are costs and maintenance and things with that.
Well, and maybe they're doing upgrades. Maybe they're putting in new bathrooms or a place for bands to come.
Or sweet buttery Jesus, some drainage.
Yeah.
As we've known it from some of the fairgrounds around here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Will it kill you?
Tip, if you ever come to a festival in New Orleans, bring rain boots.
Yeah, seriously, some waterproof Red Wings will serve you well.
Yeah, that'll work too. But rain boots will
rain
work.
Boots or at least waterproof work boots or something. Yeah, it's just, even if it...
Don't wear sandals or flip-flops.
Oh, Jesus, no. Hell no, no, no.
Because even if it looks like it's going to be a bright, sunny day, it's not.
And if it was raining any time in, like, the past few days, it could still be muddy.
Yeah.
That's New Orleans in a nutshell for you. There's standing water.
Yes.
Even when it's been sunny for days.
Yep.
New Orleans. We're below sea level for a reason. All right, now, finally, we're going to wrap this up with a couple of rapid-fire things here.
Right.
Some interesting publicity stories, as I see it. First off, a viral video going around. Christian Siratos, who is an actor on The Walking Dead, plays Rosita on The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Took a tour of the Walking Dead attraction at Universal Studios.
Right.
And apparently is a big coward.
Well, yeah.
Or I should say is a fun customer.
Yes.
How's that? We'll work with that one instead.
I would like to have her as a customer.
Oh, I'd love to have her as a customer, too.
Yes. Because, but yeah, it was fun to watch her go through. There were lots of screams to be had.
Yeah.
And backing away from zombies.
And the main thing about the video for me was it showcased what that attraction is about.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that was interesting. When we were talking about the Walking Dead attraction previously,
yeah,
it was a little bit unclear.
Right.
How it was and how it operated. This makes you realize that, yeah, it's a little bit more of a traditional haunted attraction experience than maybe originally led on to.
It is.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But, yeah, it's not the running track and the open city and all that.
Right.
It's very much a traditional haunted attraction experience.
One of the other things that was made clearer, maybe it was just me that was confused.
Probably not, but go ahead.
In the article... was that the attraction is part of the park ticket.
Yes.
So it's included in that.
Yeah, it's like because the other rides at Universal
when
Studios.
When they were first talking about opening up, they were talking about doing it as a separate thing, but it was inside and, you know, and so
and,
that seems to have been
and there's a little understandable confusion because Universal Studios does this Halloween Horror Nights, which are a separate thing. So they have a pre-existing separate haunted attraction. So the confusion's
right.
Understandable.
Yeah. But this is just part of the regular price of the admission. So that's nice.
All right. Yeah, that is cool. All right. Well, if anyone happens to watch The Bachelor, shame on you.
No, you can't say that.
Okay. We still love you and respect you as a listener. But seriously.
We wouldn't expect
we expected,
how's that?
We would not expect that from you. Yes. That's fair enough.
We expect it as much as you expect us to be talking about it now. How's that?
How's that? Fair enough. But apparently in one of the latest episodes of The Bachelor, they went on a group date to a haunted house.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately... Okay, go ahead.
Okay, now this haunted house is a haunted plantation in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the outskirts, actually. They say it's in New Orleans because everything's in New Orleans on TV.
Yeah, but everything within like 100 miles of the French Quarter's in New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, it was on a haunted plantation where there were actual...
And one of the river parishes, probably.
Yeah, it is. It's a homeless house.
Okay.
But yeah, so they would do things like books flying off the shelves and candlesticks knocking over and that kind of thing, not an actual haunted
attraction. But still, a haunted...
Right.
But and like many of these haunted mansions on the river or up the river parishes, they do make their living in the haunted entertainment industry by living off their haunted reputation. So it's still very much part of our industry in its own way. But yeah. But, you know, my understanding is girls got scared.
Yeah.
Someone got voted off. You know, stuff happened.
Yeah.
It was...
But yeah, I have no idea.
I don't really care enough.
The article was confusing for somebody who doesn't know anything about the show.
If you didn't know, we do not watch The Bachelor. We know absolutely nothing about
the show. I know the name of the show.
That is literally as far as... I know it involves, like, one dude and, like, a lot of girls. And, that's about it. That's, like, all I got.
Yeah.
That's really it. So, I apologize if I'm offending your favorite television.
Sorry.
But I don't understand it. But seriously, if you are interested in how our industry is represented in pop culture and the media, this is something to check out. So, something to put on your list. Is this something
that we're going to have to watch?
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no. I have standards.
I don't know. We've watched some pretty bad movies this weekend.
Yeah, then again, I'm totally reminded of what we watched last night, and my argument holds no water.
Yeah, no kidding.
We watched some terrible movies, but they were horror movies.
They were.
And finally this week, we make a bit on this podcast to not get political, but indeed a haunted attraction was involved in political news.
Right.
So there's no way to not discuss politics, even as we try to keep our own views out of it.
Yes.
But Kellyanne Conway, as many of us know, recently made the comment about the Bowling Green Massacre, which, as we all know, was a terrible tragedy. It was a massacre that did not take place in Bowling Green, Kentucky. It was actually the arrest, and it was supposedly an averted terror attack.
Right.
Nothing actually happened. There's even debates about it being an averted terror attack. Once again, we're not going into all the details. Basically, no one died.
Yes.
Is the point. Yes. But someone made the quip that Kellyanne Conway just got confused because she was thinking of the massacre haunted house in Bowling Green, which turns out to have actually been a real thing.
Yes. So, that part
is
there,
true.
There was a haunted house called the Massacre.
Yes,
in Bowling Green.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate that it looks like it is closed.
Well, it's the people behind it. It's a company called Horror Industries.
Yeah.
They have a thing where apparently they change and cycle through haunts and haunt names.
Right.
Pretty rare, which some companies do, and whatever's your bag.
Yeah.
I'm not here to judge. But they used the Massacre name for a period of time around 2011. It's kind of, I couldn't figure out when it was open, when it closed. It sounded like it opened something like 2009 and 2010 and went on a little ways.
Right.
But it's since been replaced by a haunt called Bloodshed, which opened up in that town in 2016.
Right. Well, maybe they'll go back to the massacre after this.
Yeah, so then you could have the Bowling Green Massacre haunted house.
Yes.
That's actually pretty awesome. So, ride the wave, guys. Ride the wave. Trust me on this one. But yeah, so these guys have gotten a rather large and unexpected amount of attention out of nowhere. And it's interesting because you can actually find the Facebook page for the massacre at Bowling Green. And it hasn't been updated since, I believe, 2011, sometime late 2011.
Right.
And it's very, very clear that it's inactive. But still, these guys and their haunt have gotten a lot of publicity from the mainstream press because of this. So it's got to be an interesting time for them.
Oh, definitely.
As someone that's been the subject of random mainstream media publicity.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in my haunt job, but my day job.
Right.
I will tell you, it is a dizzying, harrowing, terrifying, and exhausting experience.
Yeah.
I was never more tired in my life than the night after the Melania Trump, after the Melania Trump story broke, and I remember getting done with that interview on Dr. Drew, shutting my laptop, cracking open a beer, and saying, "No one talked to me. Just put something on TV. We're done.
Yeah,
the night's over.
Yep,
done. Do something. We're doing something else. Don't care. Not thinking about it. No email. Nothing. We're done.
Yep.
Don't care." Freaking ABC News calls me. We're done. This conversation's over. So, yeah, you guys, I respect and sympathize with you. Hope it's not too, too crazy.
Yeah.
But remember, you'll always be the real Bowling Green Massacre to us.
Yes. Well, because it's the only real one.
That makes it easy. I didn't say it was a tough competition.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But yes, that's the story behind that one. All in all, an interesting month for haunted attraction news. Kind of a crazy time. Yeah, we got to cover The Bachelor. We got to cover the Bowling Green Massacre, which turns out to be real, just not an actual massacre.
Right.
Who knew?
Oh.
And, of course, stupidity on social media at the London Dungeon. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go... we're wrapping this up. I think I'm going to go post some sexist jokes on Twitter and Facebook. And
I don't think you are.
You calling my bluff on that one?
Yeah, I am.
I mean, that's probably wise.
I do want to mention real quick, because I know that we talked about it, because I thought it was funny. In Ireland, they have blasphemy laws.
Oh, okay.
And I'm just going to mention it real quick. So on their Late Late Show, Blind Boy Boat Club of the Rubber Bandits, a comedian.
I hope they abbreviate that name.
use the term haunted bread to describe the Eucharist, the little bread that you eat at communion. And a priest called him out on blasphemy charges. So the courts had to determine whether or not haunted bread was actually blasphemous according to the blasphemy laws in Ireland. It turns out you can use it all you want because they decided no. So haunted bread is now a term.
Haunted bread. So, if you want to sell your haunted bread and your haunted attraction, go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. I also liked some of the other comments of Jesus.
Jesus, yes. Yeah. The comment thread on that, this is one of the handful of times you should read the comments.
Yeah.
There's not many of those.
Yeah.
This is one.
Yeah.
But all in all, a crazy week for haunted attraction news. I'm calling it a crazy month. I apologize.
Yeah.
But yeah, glad to be done with it. Back to more normalcy and sanity next month, maybe?
Hopefully.
I doubt it. Yeah. I seriously doubt it. But on that note, we thank you very much for spending the past 50-odd minutes with us. We appreciate having you. Definitely take the time to follow us on Twitter at Haunt Weekly, on Facebook at Haunt Weekly. And we had a couple of setbacks and some personal problems with the new website. Basically, the update there is it's still done.
Yeah.
We just haven't ported it over because stuff got a little out of hand, and I won't bore you with the details of our personal life.
Yeah.
But rest assured, it has nothing to do with how much we love you guys.
Yeah.
It's just stuff got a little sideways around here. So we apologize for that. Hopefully, we'll do that sometime this week.
Yeah.
It's a holiday week, so this might be a good opportunity to do it anyway.
I think it would.
Well, on that note, everyone, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunting Weekly, episode 64, doing the news once again. This is news episode 16. 16. I math to that. 16. We will see you guys next time.